Again, it's so good to see each of you this morning, and we're very thankful that the Lord has blessed us to be able to come into His house. I want to say just a word, and I didn't plan it this way when I began this series concerning Gideon. And if I call him Joshua, know that I'm talking about Gideon, okay? I've had Joshua on my mind all this week, or last few weeks, rather. And so if I call Gideon Joshua, just know that I'm still talking about Gideon. But they're at a place, and we're in Judges chapter 7 this morning. They're at a place where they're meeting their fears head on. They're at a place where that they're looking directly in the face of something that is intended to destroy them. And God's brought them to this place. And I didn't plan it to come to this point. But this morning, if you notice, most of us are wearing a mask. And I'm going to be honest with you on my feelings of it. I don't like wearing it. I don't. But if it helps prevent someone else getting sick, then I will. I'll do it. At least here. I don't know about when I get outside, but at least in here I will. I will do that too, because it's like Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And it's lawful for me not to wear it. I mean, there's no law that says I've got to wear it. But at the same time, it may not be expedient for me not to have it on. So I have it off now, because if I had it on, you wouldn't be able to understand a word I was saying. So I took it off now. So we're looking at Judges chapter 7, and I'm going to read the first four verses of this, and we'll probably read most of the seventh chapter before it's over with today. Today probably will be the concluding message concerning this, but as we're looking at it, again, God's brought them to this place where that they're going to have to confront their fear head on. And God's going to show them that He's going to be the one to take them through it. It's not going to be their own ability. It's not going to be their own strength. It's not going to be their own determination. It's going to be God that brings them through it. So Judges chapter 7, starting with verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. I want to stop just a moment there. He did not say, I cannot deliver you with this many people. But he said, I'm not going to deliver you with this many people. Because if I delivered you with this many people, with 32,000 men, you probably would say, well, we did it ourselves. We made our own way through there. And God said, I'm going to make that an impossibility for you to say that you did it by your own power. So these people are too many. And in verse 3, now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. May the Lord bless us as we read this. Have you noticed so many times in the Bible, it's almost like double negatives, that you read something and then He turns it around and it's like, what did He just say? So I hope that the Lord will bless us this morning to be able to see what He just said. May we pray. Father God, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. We know that You're the only source of power and strength and wisdom and understanding. So we humble ourselves before You, Lord, as we've opened our Bibles and read from Your Word. We pray that our hearts will be open to receive Your Word, and that as we receive it, we'll be strengthened, we'll find direction in our lives, and Lord, that we will be able to serve you in a manner that's pleasing in your sight. Father, I pray that for preaching grace this morning, that I might proclaim your word simply, sincerely, and to the point where that you're glorified and that we're strengthened by your word. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit, and we pray that he'll move among us. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. Again, just to bring us up to what's taken place to this point. Every year at the time of harvest, when they're getting ready to go out and to bring in the labors of the year, just before that happens, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east, they come up and they take away all the things just before that they're able to make their harvest. When I read that, I always think about when we lived here before. I can't remember who it was that was talking to me one day and said that, first of all, when they plant the peas, they always plant 5 extra acres for the deer. And said no matter what time they were going to go out to harvest them, if they went early, the deer came early, one day early. If they went late, the deer came one day early before that. I always seemed to get there just before they did. So this is something like what took place here with the people of Israel, that as they were getting ready to make their harvest, the people of Midian would come up, steal it away. And we find we're introduced to Gideon. He's at a place where that he's by the wine press, and there he is harvesting, threshing wheat by the wine press. And God appears to him there, and he declares something to Gideon that is so important for Gideon to understand, and it's important for us to understand, that we are who God says we are. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we have this picture of who we are that we've pictured ourselves. Sometimes we might think we're rough and tough and can handle anything. Sometimes we may think that we're weak and unable to do anything. But when God declares that we are a certain thing, a certain person, that's who we are. Because God knows us even better than we know ourselves. So he appeared to Gideon. He said, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. You are a man of strength. You are a man of ability. You are a man that I'm going to use, not because of his strength, not because of his ability, not because of his wisdom, but because God chose to use Gideon. He says, I'm going to use you to deliver the people of Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Gideon responded with things like that we normally would respond with. Who am I? I'm of the smallest family. I'm of the weakest family. I'm the youngest of the young. Who am I that I would be able to deliver the people of Israel? And God says, it's not a matter of who you are. It's a matter of who God is. And God called him to that purpose. God called him to that place. And when God presents to us a situation, a circumstance, when he calls us into his service, it's not because that we're more able than someone else. It's because that God is going to use us, to bless others, to be a blessing to others. And so it was with Gideon. He said, I'm going to use you. Then Gideon went through the process of, Lord, if it's really you, if you're speaking to me, show me that you're speaking to me. And I've never really understood that one either. Because God was speaking to him at the moment. If you're speaking to me, show me that you're speaking. Well, God gave him a sign that he did. Then he went through the process of calling the people together. Then he said, we saw this last week, he asked for 2 more signs, the sign of the fleece. The fleece was, Lord, if this is what you want us to do, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. It happened. The next day he said, Lord, let me ask you 1 more time. If it's really you, this time I'm going to let the fleece on the ground. Let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. And it was, exactly. Now, something that occurred to me in studying that is that God showed him that not because of Gideon himself, but for those 32,000 men that were there also. They had gathered together and they saw what was taking place. They saw this signs that were given, and as a result of that, they were strengthened to follow Gideon. God was showing Gideon, but also those 32,000 men, that Gideon was the one who was called of God for this particular purpose. So now God's brought them out to the place. They're on a hillside, and they're overlooking the valley. And in the valley are all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east. And as they're looking down on that valley, all they can see are these people, these men, these soldiers, and their camels and all the weaponry that they have. They're laying before them. And it's no coincidence that where God brought them was a place called the place of fear. Because it was there that they had to meet their fear face to face. They had to go face to face with what it was that was coming at them. So here they are. They're ready. They're ready to go. God showed them that He's with him. God showed them the men that He's with them. And now God goes to Gideon and He says, wait a minute. You've got too many people. You've got too many men with you. Anybody that's fearful and afraid, let them go home. And when Gideon announced that, 22,000 went home. But notice what's missing here. There's nobody there that's saying to those 22,000, you're nothing but a bunch of scaredy cats. Don't you want to go in? No, there was none of that that was going on. They realized this was God that was directing. And so it was okay for those 22,000 to go back home. That left 10,000. Though they're still outnumbered, there's something there that God has given them the strength and the ability that they're going to face what is in front of them. And so as they're now ready with 10,000 to go, God says, wait a minute. You still have too many men. And this is what I'm going to do. And if we read on down, let me just continue reading. Let me go to verse 8. No, excuse me. Read verses 5 through 7. I'm not going to read them this morning, but if you read them, this is how God divided them up. God said, take them down to the water. They're at Herod's well. And Herod's well is a spring. It's kind of like a pond or a small lake that's there. Take them down to the water, and I'll try them there, and I'll show you who you're going to take, and I'll show you who's going to go home. And God didn't tell Gideon how he was going to distinguish between the two. But when they went down and they began to drink from the water, we find that there was 300 of them that kind of stooped down. And they put their hands in the water, and they came up and they drank water out of their hands. There were 9,700 of them that just kind of fell on their knees and their face and just put their face down in the water, and they were just drinking and lapping it up and taking all of that in. So I'm wondering what's going through Gideon's mind now. Okay, we're going to take the 9,700 because they're all refreshed and ready to go. And God said, no, we're going to take the 300. Let the 9,700 go back home. And I'm wondering, now what I'm about to share with you now are strictly my thoughts, okay? Why did God choose the 300 over the 9,700? What was the difference between the two? And the only thing that I can come up with is this. The 9,700, they just put their face down in the water, and they were so consumed with satisfying themselves. And the 300 took the water up, and while they're drinking, they're aware of the situation that's around. They're still able to look around and to see what's going on around. That's the only thing that I can determine, other than the fact that God says, I don't need 9,700. I just want the 300. Didn't need the 300. He said, I'm going to use the 300. So that was the distinguishing difference that was made there. The ones that lapped like a dog, that was just take the water in their hands and just lap it up where that they could see everything that's going on around them. He said, those are the ones that we're going to use. So now we pick it up in verse 8. Let me read verse 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you. Notice that all the way through, it's never that they're going to. I'm going to save. I'm going to deliver. I'm going to use the 300, but I'm going to be the one that is the deliverer to come. And I will deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took victuals in their hand, verse 8, and their trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Gideon, go on down there. Go down to the valley. Go down to the place where the Midianites, the Amalekites, the children of Israel camp. Go on down. I've given them into your hand. Notice when God speaks, He speaks so many times in past tense. You notice that? I have delivered. I have delivered. It's already done. I have delivered it into your hand. One thing that in Isaiah 53 that I tried to preach about a few weeks ago, it's all in past tense, and yet it's 700 years before Jesus even came. So when God speaks to us, and He speaks to us in past tense, what He's saying is, I've already handled it. I've already taken care of it. It's settled. It's done. It's finished. All you got to do now is just walk in obedience, and I'll take care of you. I have delivered into your hand the Midianites. It's taken care of. Get on down there. But God understands our praying. God understands that we're as the dust of the earth. God understands that there are those things that strike fear into our hearts. And I've said it so many times, I guess maybe because I'm confronting myself and the man in the mirror. Every one of us have something that strikes fear into our hearts. There's something that causes us to have an uncertainty. There's something that causes us to have a little bit of trembling inside. There's something that causes us to have an uneasy feeling within ourselves. And God understands that. I mean, He created us. He made us. He knows everything there is about us. So it's okay to have a healthy fear, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom and all understanding. But I want to say it's also okay to have a healthy fear of situations and circumstances around us. That's only being wise, isn't it? I mean, I tremble when I'm going down the interstate and I see these people that are doing the mowing and cleaning up, and every once in a while one be walking from one side to the other, and I tremble for that man because I'm thinking he better be in a hurry or he better not stumble. You know, something it's okay for us to have some sort of a fear as long as it doesn't prevent us from doing what God has called us to do and God has called us to be. So God has said, get on down there, I've given it to your hand. But if you're fearful, and God knew it already, He said, if you're fearful, let me do this. I want you to take your servant Pura, and I want you to go on down to the end of the valley. Go into the camp and hear what's said. Can you imagine? Two men going into, and just in case that we forget, in verse 12 he reminds us once again that all of them lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. There's so many of them that are there. And yet God says, okay, Gideon, I want you and your servant Pharaoh to go down there and listen to what's being said. So here we find Gideon and Pharaoh, and then you'll find that in verses 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and so on. They go down, and they find themselves outside the tent of some of the soldiers. And as they're outside the tent of some of the soldiers, they overhear a conversation. Now, of course, the men don't know that Gideon's out there, and Gideon don't know what the men are going to say. But as they're going through that, as they're out there and they're listening, they hear one soldier talking to another. And he says, you know what? I had a dream last night, and I dreamed that there was a barley cake that came rolling down the hill, and as it came rolling down the hill, it struck the tent, and it knocked the tent down. Now, if somebody told me that dream, I'd say, well, you probably ate too much spaghetti or pizza last night and just had a bad dream. But as soon as he said what took place, the other soldier looked at him and said, I'm going to tell you what, that's nothing short of Gideon. We are in the hands of Gideon, and God has given him the victory through us. Let me just read it. Verse 13 is the dream. When Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, came into a tent, smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Now, how did that man even know Gideon's name? How did he even know? And he certainly didn't know that Gideon was right outside the tent listening to all those things. A lot of people might say, well, you know, Gideon sure was lucky. Can I tell you, I don't believe in luck. If anything, luck would be the god of this world. There is no such thing as luck. What was taking place was God's providing grace. God provided for Gideon the very thing that he needed at that moment to seal the deal, to know that God indeed was going to use him and going to give him the victory as a result of him just simply following what God told him to do. So he's there and he's listening to this and he's hearing this other soldier say, we're done for. Now again, he's part of this army that's like grasshoppers. Gideon left 300 men to come down there to listen to what was going on. And suddenly, God gave him a message. Can I tell you something this morning? I don't pretend in any way to be the source of any blessing whatsoever. But I'm convinced that when I or anyone else comes to listen to God's Word and He gives us the message that we're supposed to hear for that day, that it gives us the strength, it gives us the courage, it gives us the direction, it gives us the correction if we need it. Whatever we need, that God still speaks to us on a daily basis. He still speaks to us through His Word. He still speaks to us in ways to let us know and to understand that He is with us and He's going to give us the victory over these things that confront us in life. He's going to give us the things that will help us to get through them one way or another, where it be as we're following the Lord. And so all of a sudden, Gideon finds himself outside of a tent that I don't know how he picked that tent to go to, other than to say God took him there. But he went to that very tent, he heard that very message, and when he heard that, verse 15, and it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped. He worshipped. He stopped right there, right in the middle of the host of the Midianites. And he began to worship God. I don't know, I have a picture in my mind that he fell on his face before God. But however it was, he fell, he worshiped, and he began to honor the Lord for what God is doing for him, with him, through him, by him. He worshiped the Lord. And then he returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. When Gideon left, he left 300 men. When Gideon went back, he went back to the host of Israel, the army of the Lord. You see how his perspective changed? His whole outlook changed. Because God gave him exactly what he needed at that moment to see him through. And I'm saying that we serve the same God today. He hasn't changed in one way, in one fashion, in one form. We still serve the same God today. And he still gives us that which we need to face every struggle, every situation, every trial, every circumstance that we're called upon to face. He gives us grace. He gives us the mercy. He gives us the very thing that we need. And when we worship him, I'm convinced that even the power of God becomes more intense as we worship him, as we praise him, as we honor him for who he is. He returned not to the 300 men, but to the host of Israel. He returned back to the army of the Lord, the ones that God was going to use to deliver Midian into their hands. so we went back. We're told earlier that those 300 men, what they had in their hands were their victuals, their food, and their trumpet. I don't know if we're getting came up with 300 empty pitchers, sorry, say pitchers, vessels, earthen vessels, but he had them. And each man had a torch. And he gave each man the torch, he gave each man the pitcher, made of clay, and he put the pitcher over the torch, and he had, yeah, and they had a trumpet. He says, this is what I want you to do. I mean, instead of reading it, you can read on through the rest of the chapter and you'll see this. So, 100 go there, 100 to go there, 100 stay here with me. When you hear me, this is what I want you to do. I want you to break the vessel. I want you to blow the trumpet. I want you to sound the alarm. And this was in the middle of the night. I think it says in the first watch, it was a little bit after midnight. So they're there. And Gideon blares the trumpet. He breaks the vessel. The light shatters the darkness. When he does, the 100 men with him, the 100 men there, the 100 men there, suddenly the darkness is driven away by light. And as the darkness is driven away by light, it enlightened the Israelites, it blinded the Midianites, and they began fighting each other. And we're told that they started killing one another. Gideon didn't have to lift anything at all other than, he says, the sword of the Lord, verse 18, and this is what you say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. What is the sword of the Lord? What is it that you and I have to go against the enemy? Remember when we studied the whole armor of God? There was one thing that was used for the offensive, and it's called the sword of the Lord. It's the word of God. The word of God is what will drive away the darkness. The word of God is what will drive away the enemy. The word of God is that which gives us enlightenment, and it blinds them. It blinds the enemy. So as they were doing this, the Midianites began to destroy one another, to kill one another, and the rest of them began to flee. All right, remember those 22,000 men, actually 29,000, no, wait a minute, let me do my math, 31,700 that had gone back home. When the Midianites started to flee, Gideon sent out a call to those. You see, though they weren't involved immediately, God brought them in at the right time. God moves every one of us in His time and His way. We don't all move in the same direction at the same time, but God brings us to the same place of victory in His time. So they called those, and all those men came, and they ran after the Midianites, and they utterly destroyed the Midianites as God allowed them to do so. God's plan is perfect. God's plan is real. It's right. It's true. He brings us to a place where that we indeed can experience victory in our lives when we're trusting Him, when we're walking with Him, even when we don't understand what's going on or why it's happening. God gives to us what we need at the moment to see us through. And I'm so thankful for that. There's one postscript to this that's in chapter 8. Again, I'm not going to read it, but the men of Ephraim, they came to Gideon and Ephraim and said, why didn't you let us go? Why didn't you let us be part of those that went down when you went down with the torches and the trumpet? Why couldn't we do that? And Gideon, a man of wisdom by this point, because he's now relying upon the Lord, he looked at him and he said, don't you understand something? You were involved in the greatest part of the victory. You were involved in the part that went after them. We were just here. You went after them. God uses, God has a purpose for every single one of us. As children of God, we all have purposes. And I'm convinced that as long as we're on the face of this earth, we still have a purpose in life. When we've served that purpose, then the Lord Jesus will come and take us home. But as long as we're here, we have a purpose that God has given to us that we're to fulfill. And even I have so many people say, I don't know why God is leaving me here. I don't understand what my purpose is. And I always try to say, you know, we don't always have to know what our purpose is. Just know that God's using us and God's seeing us through and God's going to bring us to that place. There's one scripture in closing that I want to share with you from the New Testament. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Probably most of you are going to go here. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he's speaking to them concerning their struggles and their trials and their situation. And in verses 5 through 7, he's going to show them and us today how we can be overcomers. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 5. Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." We have the light of Jesus Christ that shines into our hearts. And our purpose in life, wherever that we are, is that others can see Christ in us, to see Christ through us. And the only way to be able to do that is for this earthen vessel to be broken. And that's not an easy place to be. It's not a fun place to be always. But for this earthen vessel to be broken, where that we come to the place that we understand it's not me, but it's Christ in me. And Christ is the one who shines that light out. And as Christ shines that light out, then we honor Him, we glorify Him. And I'm convinced that there are those in this world today that's walking in darkness that need to see that light, that need to see the light of Jesus. And it just might be that we're the flashlight that God uses to shine that light. May we be as hidden, though we may see ourselves as unable, unworthy, and ineffectual. That we stop looking at self, start looking at Christ, and saying, "Lord, would you just use me? Just use me. Wherever I am, take me in your hands and use me to give glory to yourself." I pray that the Lord will bless this series of sermons into our hearts, that we can find peace, we can find direction, find strength and encouragement to be able to go forward on a daily basis to serve our Lord in the manner that He directs us to serve. May we pray.